So I think towards the end of this week, or possibly it won't happen until the retreat, we will reach the part in the text which explains how to do a, it's called how to do a session, okay? How to get ready for a session. And then it's interesting because it's not very clear in the text whether they're talking about a session with your teacher in a class or a session in meditation, okay? It just says a session. And the context is in a class, you know, like how to get ready for a class, how to prepare for a class. But traditionally, it's been used as the preparation for meditation also. So we'll start that towards the end of the week. But I think what I'd like to do today is work on the traditional preparation for meditation. So meditating is like running a race, right? And you have to... I think a lot of people don't appreciate, or they don't know that you have to warm up before you do a meditation, you know. Like I tried to do some ballet for the last 10 years, and one day I had to do yoga before ballet, and then the ballet came out really well because it's very, what do you call it? If you just start doing ballet without some warm-up, I did some terrible things to myself, you know. That's it. Your body can't do those things unless you're really warm. So I think meditation is the same. And I think most people don't really think of that they need to warm up before they do a meditation. So you can't, it's very difficult to just sit down and pop into a meditation. We traditionally use, we were in Tokyo and we gave a talk at a very beautiful studio, yoga studio called Sun and Moon. And we did four meditations together that would lead to having passion in your life, okay? And it was fun. And we went through these four meditations together to find passion in your life. So what I thought we could do is, in this week, is go through those four meditations together and just get good at it. And before that, you have to do the warm-up, right? You have to learn the warm-up. So we'll do the warm-up, the traditional warm-up, and then we'll go into the four meditations. The first of the four meditations is just the breathing meditation. It's called the... I'll check your Tibetan early in the morning, okay? It's called Uk. Say Uk. Uk. I like it. Uk. It sounds like Hobbit language. Uk. Jung. Jung. And then you gotta close your throat. Ngup. Ngup. Uk. Jungup. Uk. Jungup. Okay, cool. Somebody might think you're sick if you do that. Uk means your breathing. Okay, Uk means breathing. Jung means to exhale, and Ngup means to inhale. Okay, so Uk Jung Ngup is an ancient practice from India. It was made popular in the 4th century by Master Vasubandhu in the Abhidhamma Kosha, but it's. It's a breathing meditation. It's how to watch your breath. It's interesting that the name is breath out, breath in, right? So the idea is that you begin with an out breath, okay? So the, and this is important for those of you who know about yoga. There's an idea called laya in the yoga schools, which means a practice where you dissolve the whole world into your central channel. So that's another meditation we can do later, someday, called Kengru Dabo Tinginzin. It's a special kind of dissolve the world meditation. But it's felt that if you do your breath meditation by starting with an exhale and then doing an inhale, that it will prepare you for later for doing laya meditation, where you dissolve the whole world into your central channel, your sushumna. So that'll be the first of the four meditations for learning passion, okay? For how to, what do I mean when I say passion is, I don't know, I was in the diamond business for 15 years or something, more than 15 years, and the last year I lost interest in it, and it was really unpleasant. It was really hard to sit there every day with a pile of 10,000 diamonds and look through them one by one. And I just lost my love for it, you know. And I think that happens to people in their life, you know. You kind of lose your excitement, or there's no electricity in your life. And I think it happens a lot with relationships, you know. Like at the beginning, there's all this electricity and excitement, and then slowly it just kind of wears down. And then towards the end, you just feel hollow or something, and you don't really like what you're doing. And then sometimes it's a frustrated feeling. You're doing something you don't really like, and you want to do something else that you think you like. But sometimes it's worse than that. Like, you don't like what you're doing, but you don't have any clue about what else you'd like to do, you know. So you just kind of, it's not like you can jump and go anywhere else, because you don't know what you would like to do next. So the purpose of this week in the scripture and the purpose of these meditations will be to try to do practices which would return your passion for something. So when I say passion, it's not like the passion of Christ, and it's not like the passion of an X-rated movie. It means, you know, a real deep love and enjoyment of what you do and of your relationship and things like that. It's a deep enjoyment of life and an excitement for your life all the time. So, you know, the claim that I'm making is that if you learn these four meditations and you do them regularly, then the passion will come back to your life. And I like to say, you know, in the, with karmic things, with karmic seeds, you see, if you don't know about karmic seeds, then the way you seek to solve your problems is external, right? So you don't feel happy at your job, so you start looking for a new job, right? Or you don't feel happy about your relationship, so you start thinking about having a different partner, right? And these are external ways of dealing with losing your passion, right? And we do it differently in this system, right? The whole foundation of this system is that you deal with things on a karmic level, right? So rather than looking for a new job, or rather than looking for a new partner, you plant seeds for passion, okay? You just plant the seeds for passion. And meditation is an extraordinary tool for that, because meditation takes place deep in the conscious mind, almost to the subconscious mind. The seeds are planted in the subconscious mind. So if you want to affect your seeds, or you want to plant new seeds, meditation is probably the best place to do it, you see? So you can plant seeds by talking to people, or you can plant seeds by helping people, and you should do that. You must do that. But to plant seeds in meditation is very, very powerful, because you're working close to the core. They call it alaya vijnana, which means the storehouse consciousness. You are working very close to the core where seeds are planted. So in meditation, you could plant seeds for passion in your life, you see? Which isn't to say you don't have to help people externally. You do, or it doesn't work, okay? That kind of makes the seeds work. But, I mean, some of us, I think we get all caught up in meditating and planting seeds, and we don't help anybody. So just stuff like cooking, like this evening, all the the advanced students are cooking for everybody else. And that kind of thing makes the subconscious seeds work, you see? You need both. So we're going to do exercises which plant seeds for passion in your life. But the cool thing that I wanted to say, and then we'll just start, is that once you plant a karmic seed deep within your consciousness, subconscious, you can't even guess how it's going to come back. You see? That's what I want you to feel. Okay? Like, we say, I lost my interest in my job, or my relationship isn't so fun anymore, right? Like, we got used to each other, and it's kind of boring. And then you say, okay, Geshe Michael, what should I do? And I say, plant seeds. Just plant seeds, okay? How? Let's do it in meditation. So today we'll plant seeds during meditation. What I want you to feel, though, I want you to feel how you cannot predict how those seeds will come back to you. Like, you have a feeling like, maybe I'll meet the girl of my dreams, or maybe my boss will move me to a different part of the company, which is more interesting. Okay? Like, you have a idea in your mind of how you would like the situation to resolve. And what I'm telling you is, you can't even imagine what's going to happen. And that's the fun thing about seeds. Once you plant the seeds, they will grow in the weirdest ways. Like, I have these weeds in my garden. They're sticker weeds. In the summer, they flower. And then it's too late. They grow these burrs. And then they harden, and they stick through your feet. And the spores, or the little seeds, they fly off of the flowers. And then they get into the weirdest places, you know? They get into really strange places. Like in a sidewalk, they'll get between a crack in a sidewalk, and they'll grow there. And you can't imagine it, you know? You can't imagine the flower that can come out, you know? And this meditations that we're going to do this week, they are the same. And the exciting thing about an excitement meditation is that just be aware, you can't imagine what's going to happen. And don't even try, okay? You just can't imagine what's going to happen. You know, like, I don't know. What's the guy's name? Justin? Who's popular nowadays? Justin. Yeah, whatever his name. And then, or Adele. Adele will come to your house and, you know, like, you can't. No, I'm saying you can't predict what will happen. I'm trying to get you into that feeling. Once, you can either do what you think will work, which doesn't work, right? You can quit your job. Or you can demand a transfer to a more interesting part of the company. Or you can go looking for a new partner. And the seeds that made the first job boring and the seeds that made the first partner boring, you will carry with you. And the new job will get boring after 6 months, and the new partner will also, okay? Because the seeds are carried in the mind, unfortunately. It doesn't matter where you put your body. The seeds are carried in the mind. But if you address your hopes and your dreams, mongxiang, if you address your dreams through seeds, then what I'm saying is that you can't even imagine how it's going to come out, you know? And that's so fun, okay? Like, you just can't imagine how it's going to come out. We wanted to go to Paris, right? Like, we all decided we were tired of, you know, like, really hard trips to Ukraine or Vietnam or, you know. We were like, we want to go to Paris, you know. And then, so we had this little thing and we all planned. You know, people ask me, how do you decide which countries you go to? And I said, people invite us, you know, we have invitations for the next 5 years or something. And then I'm like, but there's one city where we invite ourselves, and that's Paris, you know. And then, so we didn't have an invitation to Paris at the time. And So I was thinking, let's just do it through the seeds. Let's plant the seeds and let's see what happens, you know. So we planted para seeds, okay? And then we were in Singapore, and there was a lady, and she said, could you fly to Jakarta in the morning and do a TV show and then fly back, you know? And because we had a talk in the evening, so it was crazy. And I said, okay, what the heck, you know, let's do it, you know. And we flew to Jakarta, and we were giving a talk on Chinese TV in Jakarta. And afterwards, this French guy runs up to Mercedes, and he's like, oh, you have to come to Paris. This is so amazing, you know. And I was like, damn, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen, right? So the end of the story is we do this talk to the Chamber of Commerce, to the Joint Chambers of Commerce of Southern Paris, okay? So that guy. Then the secretary of the national head is there, and she says, come meet the national head guy. And then he's bringing us to the Riviera in the summer, Montpellier, for 4,000 business leaders. And, you know, we're like, yeah, okay. So what I'm saying is, and then him and me are doing French lessons on Skype, okay? So, like, you can't imagine what will happen. You can't guess. And don't even try. Just be aware that rather than working with external events like I need a new partner or I need to transfer, just plant seeds and relax. And weird, cool stuff will happen. Okay? Then just relax. I didn't know. If I tried to call that guy in Paris to go to the Riviera, you know, he would just wouldn't even answer the phone, you know? So just plant the seed and relax. And then cool stuff will happen. Something cool will happen, okay? And you just have to plant the seeds. So we'll start. I think what we'll do is we'll go through the traditional warm-up for a meditation. It's called Yanlak Dun, 7-step warm-up, of which only 6 are warm-up steps. And that's a quiz, right? And then we'll go to... and then we'll start some of the 4 meditations. And over the course of the next, I don't know, what, 10 days? We'll go through the 4 meditations for having some kind of magic happen on the Riviera. All right? Okay? So get ready for meditation. Sit up straight. Close your eyes lightly. It's very important during a group meditation that each of us not fidget. So do all your fidgeting now. If your nose starts to run, which mine tends to do, I learned just to let it go. It will drip off your chin and it will land somewhere on your lap and it's okay. It doesn't hurt anything. It's Arizona. It dries really fast. Please don't fidget. Okay. Relax your face, your forehead. Relax the corners of your mouth. Relax your lips. special attention to your eyelids, the crease of your eyelids. See if there's any tension there. And release, let your eyelids hang like Uttanasana, the way you let your head hang. Let your eyelids just hang. Imagine how quiet you can get, how still and quiet. Can you be like a stone, as quiet as a stone? Now we'll do Ukjumup. Place your mind on the tip of your nose. Mine's kind of hanging under the tip of my nose. And watch the breath come and go. Just from that point of view, the feel, the sensation of the breath passing the portal of your two nostrils. There's a ring of feeling of the air striking the entrance of the nostrils, and just stay aware of that one point in your body, the entrance to the nostrils, and the ring, two rings of sensation as the air strikes those two gateways, and then as it exits, you don't have to follow the air into your lungs, and you don't have to follow the air out into the room. Just concentrate on those two rings of sensation at the doorway of your nostrils. Then tradition is to try to count to 10 breaths. Each exhale is the first half of the breath. Each inhale is the second half of the breath. Try to see if you can count 10 breaths at a time and then start over with one. Exhale is the first half, jung. Inhale is the second half. Oop. Now I'd like you to try another count, but watch your mind, and if you think of something other than your breath, if the mind goes off of the entrance to the nostrils, then start the count over again at one. So sometimes I get to 3, sometimes I get to 12. Count the breath. If you think of something else, then start over again at 1. then we'll start the traditional warm-up for meditation. The first step is to, in your mind, invite your own heart teacher to come to this room and sit with you. So imagine that your own heart teacher could be alive, could be someone who's no longer alive, could be someone you haven't met yet, but your own heart teacher, as well as you can imagine them, walks into the room and sits in front of you. Don't picture a picture. They are not a statue. They are not a painting. They are alive. You can feel the warmth of their body, and you can smell the fragrance of their body. You can see their chest rising and falling with breath. Next traditional step is to pay honor to the teacher, this heart teacher. And when we're meditating, we can't stand up and bow down to them. We bow down in the mind, within the mind. And the way to honor a teacher is to consider one of the beautiful things about them that you love, one of the things about them that makes them your teacher, something we want to learn from them. So in your mind, bow down or honor your teacher by thinking of one of the qualities about them that has attracted you to them as a teacher, and celebrate and praise them for this quality. then it's not possible to meditate well if we have something on our conscience. So the next traditional step of warm-up is to review our life for the last few days, see if there's something, mistake we've made with someone, unkind thing we've done to hurt someone, and clean it from your conscience. The way to clean a mistake from your conscience is to admit it, mainly to just admit that you've done it. And I think that admitting automatically means we will try to avoid it the next time we meet this person. So think of mistake we've made with someone, got angry at someone, or upset or jealous of someone, and bring it to mind and admit it to the teacher who's sitting in front of you in your mind. Tell them. Meditation should be a joyful thing, happy thing. Should uplift the mind. And the next traditional step of the warm-up for meditation is to think of the best thing you've done in the last 3 or 4 days, something noble. Oftentimes it's not some major project, it's that, for example, we were jealous of someone and then we were able to praise them, or we were able to celebrate some achievement of theirs, or like that. So oftentimes the great good deeds are a few seconds long in your mind. So think of the best inner achievement you've had in the last few days, and be proud of yourself in a healthy way. by now the body's a little tired. Maybe the back hurts, the knees hurt. The mind is tired. It's hard to meditate. It's a strain on the mind. And then you have to be aware that you're tired and your body started to feel a little sore in some places. And you have to redouble your efforts. You have to be a little bit tough and work through the tiredness and work through the pain in your knees or your bottom, your back, and decide you're going to ignore it. If you ignore it over and over, you get good at it and you can sit for a long time. So be aware that your mind is tired, and meditation tires the mind, and then be aware that your body is getting a little sore, and work through it and make a resolve that you will keep going. It's quiet as a stone. The next traditional part of the warm-up is to rejoice or take joy in some goodness that you have seen someone else accomplish in the last few days. So I enjoy this part. I try to think about someone that I've seen who is inspiring to me. And oftentimes it's not some great spiritual leader like His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Oftentimes, for me, it's a flight attendant on an airplane, or it's a waiter in a restaurant, or it's just someone I saw as I was driving through the city, and I saw someone do a kindness to someone else, like a small kindness. They opened a door for somebody, or they smiled at someone, or they said a kind thing to somebody. So the next part of the meditation warm-up is to think, it could be a stranger, right, of someone that you've seen in the last few days that made someone else happy and helped someone else. Almost finished with the preliminaries. We have two more. Try to not to fidget or make any noise. The next traditional preliminary is to ask our teacher to guide us or to help us, teach us. I like to think of some change I would like to make in myself. I like to imagine myself in the future as a better person than I am now. And that means I have to visualize Michael, let's say this evening, how would I like Michael to be different this evening than he was yesterday evening? And I think first here, we have to come up with a picture in our mind of whom we would like to be by this evening. I like to do it this way. So try to imagine that by this evening, some improvement has been wrought in you, and you are different this evening than you were yesterday evening. Something changed about you. I like to, myself, maybe Michael's more cheerful tonight than he was yesterday. Maybe he's more patient and just generally happy. Or have a picture in your mind of whom you would like to be by tonight. Your teacher to help you become that thing by tonight. You will learn the skill of not coughing in meditation. Observe your throat when you want to cough. Usually there's some mucus moving down the throat. You can just watch it. It will pass over the cilia, the small hairs in your throat, and you will refuse to cough. And maybe it'll go someplace strange, I don't know. You can learn to control your throat. The last step on the preliminary, then we'll take a break, is to ask your teacher to stay by your side. Allow you to be with them. Allow you to be near them. And ask them to be close. Ask them to let us to stay close to them so that they can make us the person we want to be, like by tonight or next year. Ask them to stay close. Ask them if we may be allowed to stay close to them. Then please come back to your breath. Come back to your watching your breath. And then you can slowly open your eyes. Stretch your legs, stretch your arms.
Yawn. Big yawn.
By the way, if you're more comfortable in a chair, it's much more intelligent to sit in a chair. Okay? You don't get any points at all for sitting on the floor. If sitting on the floor makes anything hurt after a while, then the object of meditation becomes your knees or your back, and you lose the meditation. So it's better to sit somewhere, maybe. So when the point of that warm up, which we're going to learn, I mean, it's going to take, I guess, about 6 months to go through that preliminaries, right? We're going to learn them in great detail. We'll go through them one by one very slowly. And this is the classic text for that, okay? This is the best text in the world for learning how to go into a meditation, okay? Then, by the end of that process, your mind is very, very ready for meditation, okay? Everything is, your conscience is clear, right? And then you have some kind of joy already. You celebrated your own goodness and somebody else's goodness. And then you spent some quality time with your teacher at the core of the mind. You see, because the teacher, we all want to have a Kung Fu Panda master, right? And we all want, I think all of us in this room especially, we feel how beautiful it would be if we could have our own master, you know, like a real master teacher in our lives. And it doesn't have to be some person in a red suit, okay? It could be your sister, or it could be one of your guitar teacher, or, you know, everybody would like to have someone in their life who's a real master and then have this close relationship with them. So it's important to understand that you don't find a master through external means. You see what I mean? Like, you don't go online, or you don't go to Varanasi and wander around the ghats in Varanasi and look for somebody. That's not how a teacher comes. A teacher is also a creation of your own mind. So if you want to find a beautiful teacher, you do these preliminaries, you see, and at the core of the mind, right? Near the storehouse of the seeds. And then you imagine sitting with your teacher, and you work with your teacher in your imagination. And the better the fantasy gets, the more beautiful teacher will come to you, because they are coming from that storehouse. They are a projection of your own mind, right? So when you do the preliminaries well, you are creating a master teacher who will show up in your life and stay with you. And it's a wonderful, you know, it's nice to have a partner. That's a nice relationship. And it's nice to have family and children. These are beautiful relationships. But the relationship with a master, a real spiritual guide who's close to you, is, there's nothing to compare with it. It's a great happiness, and there's nothing like it, okay? So, and you don't find them, you create them. And the way you create them is through meditation. Okay, so in your imagination, you picture the perfect master, and then you relate to them in the meditation, and you tell them what you did wrong, and you tell them what you did good, and you tell them the good things you saw, and you tell them what you would like to be by the evening, and can they help you become that, and you get into this fantasy relationship with a master. And then because the master is coming from your mind, that creates them. And again, okay, last thing. You can't predict how it will come out, you see? I want you to feel that. If you get into creating the things you want through seeds rather than looking for them, right? If you get into this methodology, which I really want you to, because that's Buddhism, that's the whole thing. You don't go looking for something, you create the seed. And then you can't imagine what will come, you know? Like, you can't... I can tell you, plant a seed for your master, your spiritual master, and then you can plant them, but you have no idea. It's more beautiful than you can imagine. Right? You have some kind of an idea what might happen if you plant a seed. It's nothing like that. It's much better. It's much amazing. Okay? Like, just the perfect, an unimaginably beautiful person will come to you. That's someone you couldn't imagine. Okay? If you work through the seeds and don't struggle to go find them. Okay? Like that. Just plant the seeds. All right? Meditation's not enough. I mean, you also have to help other people in real life, right? In real life. And you have to help other people. I mean, it's not enough just to sit in meditation all day. You have to... I call it Starbucks. In China, we travel a lot in China. We're going again next month. And they call it... They say... What should I do, Geshe-la? I say, go to Shimbaka. Okay? You know Shimbaka? Shimbaka is Starbucks in Chinese. I said, you gotta do Shimbaka meditation. And they're like, what's Shimbaka meditation? I'm like, you have to go to Shimbaka. Oh, okay. Meaning you have to take someone to Starbucks. Okay? That's, your practice is gonna happen in two places. One is your meditation room, and one is Shimbaka. Okay, Shimbaka means if you want to find your master, then you have to help somebody else find a master, right? Because that's the cause of finding a master. Or you have to help guide someone else. So anything, somebody wants to learn sitar, somebody wants to learn anything, but you help them to learn something at Shimbaka. You go to Shimbaka. And then that, combined with your meditation, creates your master. Okay? You have to do inner work, and then you have to physically help somebody. And that combination will create your master. All right? All right, so we're going to take a... Is that time, right? Am I late? Am I okay? 10:30? At what time? Yoga starts at 10:30? I was supposed to stop earlier. Well, since I'm the teacher of the next class... I say we start in about... We could start at 10:45. I stop at 11:30. Anton starts torture. yeah. Huh? Okay. So we'll start at 10:45 and we'll go to about just before 11:30. Okay? If you'd like to stay for the beginner's yoga class. Okay? And, you know, you don't have to. If Anton's enough for you, which is probably enough for anybody, you can just come to that class and you can relax during this next class. Okay? But I would come to Anton's class. And, you know, I've been going to yoga classes for 15 years. I'm not athletic. I don't like exercise. But I just go. And I do what I can do. And I don't... It's a kind of pride, right, to get upset that you can't do half the things. And you just got to get over that, you know. Just come. enjoy, he plays good music, he's a nice guy. Do the class and do what you can do and don't stress about it, okay? And I just do that and it's fun. I've learned to have fun in classes where I can't do anything. And Justin, you know, so I would come if you can come, okay? All right, we'll take a 15-minute break. Okay, thanks.